Hey, this is Steve Bloom, and you are listening to the GeekCast Radio Network.
Hello, and welcome to episode 232 of the Cinema Geeks. I am one of your Cinema Geeks, Optimus Solo, and joining me, as usual, is the Comic Concierge. Hello, Dan.
Hello, how's it going?
It is going. We are back at it. Last you heard us, we were reveling in our favorite holiday films. Did you get a chance to watch any other holiday films after that record, Dan, before Christmas officially hit? Because I know it's hard to watch them afterwards. It just feels wrong.
I did watch a few that I didn't watch before. I checked out This Christmas. Because I know the song, but I realized I never watched the movie. So
I haven't seen that one either.
That it's incredible. Like, that cast is stacked, but it also has Chris Brown. He's in it too. But okay. You know, Idris Elba, a lot of, like, just it's great. Like, he plays a small role, but it was fine. It was a decent holiday film, and I watched Scrooge finally because I mentioned like that was on my list of shame. I'm like, I thought it was okay. I thought I liked it, but you know, it's still not my favorite Christmas Carol adaptation.
Right.
How about yourself? Did you catch up on anything?
I think the only additional one that I was able to watch, which I believe was after that record, was The Bishop's Wife from Cary Grant, because it was in that. Go ahead.
Yeah. So I watched that too. I did see that too.
Yeah. I mean, it was in my list of, I think I have like, I don't know, 10 more Cary Grant films to watch. And I was like, this one sounds like it may be a Christmas movie. So I put it on and I was like, oh, Cary Grant is playing an angel. And I'm like, I don't know why, but that apparently fits him perfectly.
So, yeah.
I enjoyed that.
And I watched the remake, The Preacher's Wife. So
which one did you like better?
I liked The Bishop's Wife better, I think. I don't know. Like, Cary Grant and Denzel Washington, you can't do wrong.
No.
But I think I like Bishop's Wife better a little bit, but
I think Bishop's Wife for me just like fit like a feel good like Christmas, like it got a lot of the elements of like a Christmas movie, a lot of the different things that you see in something like A Christmas Carol and various other Christmas films, and I felt like it was fun to just see Cary Grant just be like that character, and I felt like it fit his person. Like, who doesn't buy Cary Grant as like this angel that's just like with magic powers? And I was impressed with some of the special effects for 1940, whatever year that was, 1948, 1949. Like, there's a couple tricks up his sleeve as an angel, and I was like, you know what, that looked pretty good considering.
Yeah. And then you have the ice skating scene, which is like, that's clearly not Cary Grant, but whatever.
We'll just move on from that. It did have a fun supporting character. I don't remember the guy's name, but
was it Otto?
There was two. There was the limo driver or whatever, the taxi driver, and then there was like the professor friend or whatever. Which was actually the second movie that they appeared in together, because he was also in, Cary Grant did a biopic where he played a famous musical composer, and it's just like, I'm totally blanking on who that was at the second, but the guy that played in this Bishop's Wife was in that film with him playing himself.
Oh, nice.
Like, he was actually playing like the real life person that had a relationship with, was it Cole Porter? Does that sound right?
I don't know.
I think Cole Porter might be the person I'm thinking of, but Cole Porter had a colleague that was a professor in college, and that was literally this guy. And so he like was dabbling in acting as well. And it's crazy because he plays himself. And then I didn't realize he went on to like just actually be an actor in other films too. So it was kind of a crazy scenario, but. Before I go down on a Cary Grant rabbit hole, we'll get back to the topic at hand for today. So you back in the day, which I don't know if it was a Tuesday or a Wednesday, but it was a while ago, we used to have like a specific cadence where we would start the new year here on the Cinema Geeks, and we'd have a series of different episodes that we would do for you guys. We would do our top 10 of the year before. We would do a box office prediction for the coming up year, and then we would do like a most anticipated films list. And I think we typically tried to close the chapter on the year before first, and then we moved on to like the box office and most anticipated, because that was the year that was coming up. We're going to flip the script on that though, because I like stalling, And I feel like there's more 2025 films that I need to catch before we officially close the book and do our top 10 list. So we're going to flip the order all around from what we used to do. And we're going to come and talk about the box office results from 2025. And then we're going to have a fun, heated battle between Dan and myself as we draft a box office team for 2026. So instead of us both just coming up independently with our top 10 predictions, we're going to draft back and forth to try to create the highest placing team for 2026. And we'll get more into the details of that when it comes time for that in the episode. But before we do that, we want to talk about the 2025 results. Before I get into specifics, Dan, do you have any clue what your picks were? Do you have an inkling of how you did, or like, are you scared?
I'm scared because all I can remember is I know that I did not choose Minecraft, and that was like the biggest movie of the year. And I remember Michael, I think, was in my top 10. That didn't even come out. So, it's tricky. I'm a little worried.
When we talked about it when we did this, like trying to make sure you had films that came out, we also tried to do that when we talk about our most anticipated, which I failed a little bit in last year. So it was interesting. Looking just before we get into the specific results, I find it interesting to like look at how the box office has done overall when you look at, let's say, like the top 10. Like if you go pre-COVID, like we're talking about like 2018, the number 10 film was like 213 million, right? So you had to be over 200 to be in, but we had three films that were over 600 that year. When you go to 2019, there was only one film in the 200s that made it. Everything else had to be 300 million or more in 2019, which is crazy to think about. So like they literally had nine films that year that made over 300 million, including a 500 and a 800 in the Avengers Endgame. Obviously, COVID hits in 2020 and there really hardly is a box office. So we can kind of like skip past that a little bit. Once we come into 2021, we're still recovering a little bit from that. So it's definitely affecting the box office because you could have gotten in the top 10 with only 121 million. We did have a 500 plus million with Spider-Man No Way Home, but otherwise it was mostly in the ones. 2022 is like a big rebound year because then we get back to there was only one film in the top 10 outside of the 200 million mark. And included a huge performance by Top Gun Maverick with 700 million. We would have lost if we were predicting back then, I think. I don't think we would have had that one. Yeah. 2023 comes along. We had two sneak in the 100s and then three in the 200s. The top five are all 300 or more. 2024, we had two in the 190s and then three in the 250s and above and then five above 300, including two in the 600s with Deadpool and Wolverine and Inside Out. So now we come to this year. There's really not that big one. Like if you're listening to like some of those, like three films in 2018 above 600, right? Like one film above 800 in 2019, one film above 500 in 2021, one film above 700 in 2022. Like there's always these like big hitters, like two above 500 in 2023. And two above 600 in 2024. 2025 doesn't have anything in the 500 or plus mark. Like, so there's less of like that big, huge one at the top, but it did take 250 plus, 260 plus to be in the top 10. So it's like not as high of a ceiling, but also not as low as a floor. Which is kind of interesting to see. So quite a few films that did all right. And obviously we're still in January. So some of these will change a little bit depending on how you judge box office. I mean, typically if the film comes out in 2025, it doesn't matter how long it runs into 2026. You usually count that towards that in my brain. So, or if you can cut it off right at the end of the year, but we still have three active films, I believe if my count is right, in the theater, which would be Wicked for Good, Zootopia 2, and Avatar Fire and Ash. I believe all those are still in the theater. I don't keep up 100% on what's showing every day at the theater, but I think those three films are still actively making money. So when we go into our predictions, we did do something last year with wild cards, right? We had our top 10, and then we had some wild cards that we could throw in there. I will say that we're not good at picking wild cards, Dan. So I had what I thought was a sneaky pick because I knew nothing about it, and all of a sudden some website labeled it as coming out in 2025, which was the Passion of the Christ reboot. I don't remember what it's called, The Resurrection of Christ or something like that. Not only did that movie not come out in 2025, it's also not coming out in 2026. It is scheduled for 2027. So that was a very bad wild card pick on my part. My other wild card pick was the aforementioned Michael, which, like you said, did not come out in 2025. And that was your number 10 pick as well. So your wild card picks also didn't do too great, but they both came out. So
step in the right direction.
Step in the right direction. You had Elio as one of your wild cards.
Yeah.
That made just south of 73 million. Did not get real great word of mouth reviews. And I think it kind of stunted. Plus, a lot of films just don't stick around in the theater too long, it seems like, these days. So that would not have qualified for any sort of point system if we had it. Your other wild card was Dogman, which came out super early in the year. That was just shy of 98 million. So far, we're 0 for 4 in our four wild cards. So are we feeling good about the top 10?
Yeah. So. I'm surprised Dogman didn't do better. So popular. And right. It was like a time of year where there wasn't much out, but, you know.
Typically, you feel like yours would have been safe there. Elio, an animated film. Dogman, a kid-centric film. Thought you would have been good. Like, you know, shame on me for Passion of the Christ 2 and Michael. Like, I should have done better research. But anyways, I had Elio as my number 10 as well. So my number 10 was one of your wild cards. Your number 10 was one of my wild cards. So far, we're just even at being terrible at this. no harm, no foul. Nobody's like pulled ahead or anything like that. We also both voted for a film that was nowhere near the top 10, which would have been Snow White. You had that at your number 9. I had that at my number 8. It made 87 million and got completely trashed by critics and all of that kind of stuff. So I don't know if that's the worst performing of the live action Disney films or not. I haven't done the research to know that, but it's got to be close if it's not the worst. So you think you're good going Disney? We were wrong on that one.
Yeah.
That's 0 for whatever. Like, a lot of films so far. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 films that we have gotten completely wrong. All right. Let's move into what was the number 12 so far currently at the box office, which you did not rank. I had it at number 9. That would have been Mission Impossible Final Reckoning. It made 197. Still not in the top 10, though. So it's okay that you didn't rank it. We weren't supposed to rank the top 12, but clearly, I've missed another one there because I had this one at 9 and it ended at 12. Then we go to the number 11 last year, which would be Captain America Brave New World. You did not rank this, so you're good. I ranked this at number 6. So I had it at number 6. It came in at 200 million, which was not enough to crack the top 10 mark for the year. So far, 4 of my top 10 have been named. 2 of your top 10 have been named. So we'll see how it goes from here. Do you have any idea of what your number 6 pick was last year?
Was that Fantastic Four?
Nope. Your number 6 pick was How to Train Your Dragon.
Okay.
That did come in at number 10 currently. So You have one in the top 10.
How there we go.
Dragon made 262, almost 263 million. I feel like that's a pretty good number, and it only comes in at number 10. So That's where the bar is set. Like I said, it took a decent amount of money to make the top 10, and we're going to have a whole bunch of them packed within like 100 million of each other. The next one that came in at number 9 was where you had Fantastic Four. You had this ranked 8. It came in at 9th, and it is 274 million. And for those keeping track at home, I did not have How to Train Your Dragon or Fantastic Four ranked. So that is 2 more misses on my part. Coming in at number 8 last year was a film neither one of us had ranked. There's always one of those. It's hard to predict which one's going to take that spot. Do you know which one it is? It's, you know, the non-IP related, non-animated,
got to be Sinners, right?
Yes. Sinners comes in at number 8 with 200 and almost 280 million. And that's the one that's always hard to predict. And it usually happens in the first quarter.
Yeah.
I feel like with those films, like it dominates that first quarter of the year when there's not a lot of other competition, and it was definitely Sinners last year. So we both missed that one. Coming in at 7 currently for last year. This could change, but this is currently where Avatar Fire and Ash sits at 318. Obviously, that can climb a little bit. You had Avatar ranked at number 2. I had this ranked at number 1, currently at number 7. So it's in the top 10. Yeah. I don't know if it'll climb enough to get to 1 or 2, though. We'll have to wait and see. At number 6 currently for last year is Jurassic World Rebirth. You had this at number 7. I had this at number 5. So we both straddled where this one is currently landing. It's at $339 million, and that one's well out of the box office, so it's not making any more money. So it should sit there. It just depends if Avatar can pass it, which I assume it will. At number 5 from last year, this is where Wicked for Good currently sits at $340 million. You had this ranked 3. I had this ranked 2. So there's a chance one of us could still get that right. We're at least in the ballpark. And then how about this one? Interesting. I didn't realize this is how it turned out. You had this one ranked 4. I had this one ranked 4, and it currently is sitting at the 4th spot. So I guess for all the terribleness we had at the beginning, we really nailed this one. And that would be Superman at $354 million currently. And that's, well, I say currently, that's all it's going to make. It came out in July. The third one for last year would be Zootopia 2. It's at $368 million. You had this as your number 1. I had this at number 3. So if it stopped making money right now, I'd be fine. It would have been right where I had it. But I think it's going to climb a little bit more. I don't know if it has another $50 million in it or not, but that's all it would take for you to get that one right at the number 1 spot.
Yeah, probably not that much.
Yeah, and then we're left with the top 2. And one of them I didn't rank, and one of them you didn't rank. So we were doing good there for a while, Dan. We had 7 yeah. through 3. We each had in our top 10, but... coming in at number 2, a film that I didn't rank, you had it at number 5. That would be Lilo and Stitch. It's currently at $423 million. And just above it, by less than $300,000, is a Minecraft movie, which I had at number 7 and you did not have ranked. No, so we kind of flip-flop there. You had Lilo Stitch 5. I didn't have it ranked. I had Minecraft 7. You didn't have it ranked. So how we determine a winner in this, in my mind, Dan, is the fact that even though I did have the 11th and the 12th film, I only have 6 films in the top 10, and you have 8. So I feel like you get the crown this year. The only ones that you didn't have were Sinners and a Minecraft movie.
Yeah.
So that's not too bad, Dan. Victory speech or acceptance speech?
It feels a little weird because like I didn't have the number 1 movie. You know what I mean? So it's like it was like a big miss because I missed the biggest one.
Yeah, but you missed 1 and 8, and then I missed 2, 8, 9, and 10.
I mean, I'm glad to be wrong about Sinners. Like I honestly did not think it had. That type of box office potential, just because you never know with, you know, as you see, it's the only thing on here that isn't based upon something else or isn't a sequel. So that's awesome to see. I'm glad that it didn't make as much money as it did, and proves just like Ryan Coogler is going to be one of those directors that like ones we'll probably talk about today that like, okay, they're making a movie. So they're an IP within themselves. So it's awesome when you see another person that enters that category. So
right.
I'm curious. I think what he's doing, I forget what he was set to do next, but I believe it was something I would remember, but I don't know. I'm surprised. Like I said, I remember it. I didn't do Minecraft, and I know Michael didn't come out. So those were my big misses. So
I just needed my 11 and 12 to be 9 and 10 instead to compete with you, but instead they were just on the outside. But interesting that it took $260 million to get into the top 10, which is not always the case. We had one $200 million movie not be in the top 10, and then if you round out the actual next ones that would have came in order last year, we would have had number 13 would have been Thunderbolts at 190, 14 was F1 at 189, 15 was Conjuring 177, and 16 was Weapons 151. Those were the only ones that were above 150. So how does this information play into your draft board for this next year, Dan? Are you taking any of this and using it to your advantage, hopefully?
A little bit, because I do think we have some movies that are very much related to what came out last year that will be coming out this year, you know, that we can probably get into. So that did try to inform. Also try not to go too much off of what people are saying online, because when we did this, the reason I didn't include Minecraft, because all you saw was just endless negativity about that movie.
So it's interesting, because how much is the online chatter, and then how much is the real chatter, like, once it comes out? Because I feel like the word of mouth does play an effect. Like, I feel like it definitely hurt Elio and Snow White last year, but then, like, all of the online chatter about Minecraft didn't hurt it at all.
Yeah, it became a meme. Like, it became that whole Chicky John. So, like, it's hard to tell. I don't even know if they know why Minecraft did as well as it did. But I guess kids loved it. And, like, I think everything I thought about Dogman, the reasons why Dogman would do well, really happened with Minecraft, which I guess makes sense, because it's a bigger property. But
sometimes I know we take a couple things into account, and I'm already recognizing and understanding or realizing that I made an error in my draft board so far for next year, because there's certain things we take into account when we do this, right? Like, is it an animated film? What's the audience? Is it an existing IP that we can look at, like, previous films within that franchise or in that universe? Is there some type of comp, like a film comp, that we can make? Like, it's sort of like this other film that's already happened. So you do a lot of that. I know in previous years, I've paid more attention to release dates, and I'm realizing that that may be a mistake as we go into this draft, because I haven't looked a lot at the release dates, but I'm wondering if that helped Minecraft. It came out in early April, and if you look at the list of the top 12 films, like, there's nothing else in March or April. So yeah. I don't know if it helped that it didn't have as much competition or not, or how much release dates actually play into it. I mean, like, you had, like, Lilo and Stitch and Mission Impossible were coming out at the same time, but those aren't really comparable movies, right? Like, it's not attracting the same audience. The same could be said with, like, Zootopia and Wicked in a way. Like, yes, they both came out in November, but, you know, they don't really have the same audience. But then when you get into July, for example, we had Fantastic Four, Jurassic World, and Superman all somewhat competing in that time frame. So it's like, how does that play into it? So kind of bouncing off of that, like, without giving away any of your, you know, your strategy as far as which movies you're going to pick, because then I'll steal your ideas. But, like, what did you focus on when you were trying to come up with your draft board for 26?
I started with the ones that I feel like have the least likely, their outcome is pretty set in stone. Like, I'm like, okay, this is, it may not be number one, but, like, there's high likelihood of being in the top 10. That's where I kind of went first. And I looked at properties that have been consistent in sense of, like, how well they've done, like, with like the certain IPs, and I wish it wasn't all IP stuff, but that's kind of the world we live in. And then, as well as some directors, I mentioned how there's certain directors that do really well, and then also just, like, those type of films that have a built-in fan base outside of the film itself, that are based upon something that clearly has a cachet or is well known. So I kind of considered all those. I did consider end dates as well, because there are certain films, like, near December that are kind of around Avengers Doomsday that I put really low on the list, because I have a strong feeling that maybe they're going to push those dates to, like, beginning of 2027, because it seems like there's a big film that's supposed to come out the same day as Avengers Doomsday, and I feel like that seems unlikely. So I was worried about that one and things. So I did try to consider that. And I did think of release dates as well, because I think it's June or July is really stacked. Right. And when you have, like, three animated films, usually, like, families are choosing one. Like, that's kind of what happens. Rarely do families go to the movies, like, three times in 1 month. So I was like, okay, which one do you feel like people would be the most likely to go to? So that's what... So that did impact my.
I feel like you are so much better prepared for this than I am, and I thought I was really prepared.
I mean, it's not like I feel like a lot of the films we're picking are, it's, you know, it's not like,
yeah.
I have a deep sleeper. trying to think of like a big deep sleeper from fantasy football this year, but I can't.
Think
of
yeah.
everyone I drafted got injured like the third week of the season. So,
yeah, it's interesting because like you talked about, like, and I hadn't really thought about release dates except for I did consider if they had a solid release date or not.
Yeah.
Like, one is how close is it to the end of the year if it is solid at the moment. The other one is if it just is like a one of those that lists it's going to come out in 2026, but it doesn't have a month yet. You're like, are you really? So I'm trying to avoid some of that to pick like a few films that didn't come out like I did last year. The only other thing I kind of take into effect, like, there's a couple things that are hard, right? Like, some of them you can just look at like the previous IPs or films within that IP and you're like, okay, it's kind of consistent within this level. Sometimes the comps that you make for a film are polar opposites. Like, there's definitely a few on here that I'm like, well, it's like this one and this one, and this one did really good, and this one did terrible. So it's like, which way do I go? So I also tried to like think of momentum within a franchise.
Mm-hmm.
So like, has the, you know, maybe the first one didn't do as well, or the second one didn't do as well or something, but maybe like, I feel like the word of mouth and the momentum within that franchise is peaking or going in the right direction versus like it coming off of a dud and it might not be. I think another thing that's really hard this year, well, I think two things that were traditionally really easy to pick have not become as easy in the last couple of years. So one of those would be comic book films. Used to be like you could just any comic book film that was going to come out, you might as well put it in your top 10. Like, that's probably how it's going to end up. And I don't know if you can 100% say that anymore. I feel like there was some comic book or superhero, I should say superhero, not comic book. You're probably ready to like jump through the screen. superhero films, it used to be you just put it in there. And I feel like nowadays, between superhero fatigue and different things, there's some that just don't quite work as well, right? Like, I'm trying to think of some specific examples, but like Blue Beetle came out and was a superhero film. Like, it did like 72 million, right? Like, not all of them are that way. And I think the same can be said for animated films. You used to be able to pick like the top four or five animated films that were going to come out that year. They're all going to be in the top 10. And that has not been as much of the case. Both Disney and Pixar, as well as some other studios, have had some that have not done super well. We just talked about Elio only doing 72, right? I think Elemental only did 150-ish somewhere in there. Wish from the other year did 60 something. So like, it's not as cut and dry with those. So now I'm like really trying to like decide which of those animated films, which of those superhero films are still no brainers and which ones are going to like follow to the wayside. Like, we've seen some of those other ones, which used to be, like I said, I feel like you could just, it was slam dunk for those types of genres or those types of films. So it's going to be interesting. The other thing that's going to be interesting about this is typically Dan and I only have to come up with 10. Right, we might do a couple wild cards or different things like that, but we typically only have to have 10 films that we really feel good about. But because we're doing this draft, it's going to go 20 films deep because we're each picking 10. So we might get into some interesting territory as we get into the later rounds. Are you scared of rounds like 8 through 10, Dan?
A little bit, because again, that's where we're talking about like the release dates and things like that. I'm like, I feel like some of these aren't coming out, or like, I don't even know. Like, because there's, I was, you want to find that diamond in the rough, right? Like, what will be this year's Sinners? Will we have one? And I'm like, I don't know. Maybe this will be it, because I try to do the wife test in the sense of like, how well is this known in the public? In general public, because my wife, like, she doesn't really pay attention to like movies on a grand scale. So I'm like, hear about this, and like, she does know about it. And it's like, okay, so that means at least, so there's a kind of put that a little higher on the list.
Right.
So yeah,
I think something else you talked about too, because when you're trying to come up with that like out of left field one, like Sinners was last year, a lot of times I feel like you want to tie it to a director, and some directors just have a way of like doing better at the box office. That's even hard this year, and we'll get more into this when we do our most anticipated films list. But there is like the lineup of directors that are potentially putting movies out in 2026 is ridiculous.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's anybody not putting out a film in 2026. I don't know if anybody took the year off. I don't think that's the case. I feel like every big name director has something slated for 2026. So it's hard to even find that one, because And we might get into that with the picks, but we'll for sure talk about that when we get into our most anticipated. So Dan, I think since you won last year, your prize should be able to have the first pick, right? Like that seems fair enough.
That's fair. We go in snakes. I'll do one. You do two, three, and go that way.
Oh, sure. That's totally fine. And for those keeping track, I think we did do a draft one other time, which was back in 2018, but that was a four-person draft with both Matt and Amanda on that one. So I have no idea how that worked or how it didn't. I didn't review 2018 to see where my mistakes were. So, but I know we've done it one other time, but it's not helping me in this
case. I think we've done it. I think we did the year before too. So I think this is
okay. The
third time. Cause I have their list saved on Letterboxd for some reason.
Nice. Is this the first time it's just been one-on-one though?
Yeah. Yeah. It's okay. Only, so a little different.
All right. Well, you have the floor. So what's your slam dunk number one, no doubt pick?
I feel like with fantasy football, like the number one spot is almost like cursed. Cause it's like, it's, you know, every year, like, oh, number one, I'll go Christian McCarthy.
Christian McCaffrey.
Christian McCaffrey or Saquon. And then they'll have a disappointing year. But I feel like the safest pick, and I think you can kind of go two ways with this, but considering this is like going to be the biggest movie ever, just in form, like cast wise, I'm going to go with Avengers Doomsday. I feel like, it feels a little shaky going with Marvel. I mean, yeah, obviously, because they've been on a down tear. But maybe 2026 is a year back for them. I don't know if this isn't a big, you know, if this isn't the biggest movie for them or isn't a huge hit.
Might be the nail in the coffin.
Yeah, that might be the end of it, right? Or they have to like restart or figure something out. So I feel like Disney's going to do everything they possibly can to make this the biggest thing ever. So right. I'm gonna go with it with number one.
Right. I don't fault you at all for that pick. So which one of these do you think it's going to be more close to when it comes to the comp? So I believe the last three Avengers films have been Endgame, Infinity War, and Age of Ultron, right? Like those were the last three for the big team up.
Well,
Infinity War and Age of Ultron. So Age of Ultron did 450, Infinity War did 678, Endgame did 858. Where do you see Doomsday coming in?
I think it'll be lower because my biggest fear is like, what if it's not good? Like that's like, and it's, and I think about the Russo brothers are coming back, and to be honest with you, like their output lately has been pretty bad. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I'm worried it's not going to be that good. So I'm going to say it's going to be lower, perhaps. I don't know. I'm going to, than all of them, but still enough to, more than Age of Ultron, maybe, but not nearly as much as the other two.
So maybe hovering right there around 500 or somewhere
close to that. That would be my guess.
Right. Well, I had some different groupings of films, and I happen to have a couple here. I had three at the top, so I guess it works out that we're doing the snake draft because I can take the other two that you didn't take and I don't have to think as much. So maybe a mistake. I don't know. I'm going to go double animated films here and try to tap into what I feel like are going to be the highest grossing two animated films that we get next year. So based off of the performance of the Super Mario Brothers movie, I feel like the Super Mario Galaxy movie is, I can't imagine it falls off that much from what that other one did. Like there's a big group of people that like Mario Brothers, and I think Mario Galaxy like is not going to do anything to disenfranchise any of them necessarily. It's also coming out in April. So if you remember, that's when Sinners made a bunch of movie. I know they're not anywhere like the same movie, but maybe you can capitalize in the pre-summer, not holiday season, like lack of competition. And when I looked at the rest of the animated films, I think there's one that comes out in March and all the rest were not anywhere near that. So I feel like Super Mario Galaxy movie hopefully is a slam dunk. I don't know if it does 574 like the other one did, but I see it doing real close to that, like probably close to 500. So that's one of my picks. I'll let you react to this next one or these two after I do my next one. I'm going to double down on animated, and I'm going to also take Toy Story 5 because unless that, I mean, it's Toy Story, right? Like all of them have done the last two of Toy Story 3 did 415. Toy Story 4 did 434. Even if it drops, I feel like it's still going to be pretty close to 400. It is coming out in June. June 19th, I think, is the release date. So it will have a little bit more competition from an animated standpoint. So that is, I guess, the riskiness of it, because there's definitely a film that's coming out a few weeks after that that's also in the animated world that's going to steal some of the audience away once it comes out. But hopefully by then it has already made enough money. So I'm going Super Mario Galaxy Movie and Toy Story 5, Dan.
Yeah, I had on my board, I had Toy Story at 3, Mario at 4. Again, I agree with you. Like Toy Story 4, which I didn't realize made $1 billion worldwide. So I'm like, okay. I think it'd be highly unlikely for Toy Story 5 to not, maybe not get a billion, but it's going to get close. And same like what you said about Mario Brothers. We know how well video game movies did last year. The first one did really well. Second, this one looks pretty good too. Probably gotten even more fans because of the first film being on streaming and stuff like that. So I could see it maybe even outperforming. The only thought is, like, I remember when Lego Movie 2 came out, and I remember the year we did it, I thought that was going to do great because it was coming out at the same time. The first one did so well, but for whatever reason, the sequel, it just couldn't capture that magic again. So could that happen with Mario? Maybe. True. I don't know, but we'll see.
So by doing my double animated pick, I know that I have now opened it up for you to do a double of your own with your first two picks.
So I'm going to go with what's number two on my board. And I'm going to go with The Odyssey with Christopher Nolan. Now it's obviously with something like The Odyssey, like, I can't, the last time I feel like we've gotten a movie like this is when like Troy came out, and that wasn't like a huge hit. Although I really like that movie, and I think I saw that movie in theaters like 3 times. I don't even remember why. But it's Christopher Nolan. There is a Greta Gerwig movie coming out this year with like Narnia, but that's Netflix, so we won't have another Barbenheimer thing. But he was able to have a movie about Oppenheimer make $1 billion. So I feel like an epic like Odyssey. Similar. There's been a lot of weird online conversation about The Odyssey already. I didn't let that impact me because I'm thinking, like, we got that with... I learned my lesson when it came to Minecraft. I'm not worried about that. I feel like, you know, Nolan has that cult fan base as much as any director right now. I think his name on a movie is just pretty much solidifies it. At least that's my goal. I mean, there have been some films of his that, like... way back when that weren't huge hits, like not the Illusionist, but I don't know. So, but I think at this point though, it's gotten so much buzz. I mean, I know like when the trailer came out, a lot of conversation around it. So I think I'm really safe there. Honestly though, like now we're in territory where I'm a little worried because there are a lot of different options. Number five on my board, I'm scared for because I'm like, I don't know. Am I overthinking this? Am I putting it up too high? But I'm going to go for it because maybe I'll end up being wrong. Who knows? I'm going to go with Michael at my next pick. Michael Jackson. I had this last year. Maybe it was a year too early. But he, one of the probably the biggest pop star of all time. I think if it's any good, it's going to get so many different fans. We know like how some like time musicals will. It's not necessarily a musical, but obviously we'll have a lot of music in it. So I feel like there's a potential there for it to do really well. And I'll get into why there are some other choices that maybe people would have gone with that I'm worried about. But I'm going to go Michael here just because maybe I'm just hoping that we would get something that is not, an IP, even though it's a biopic
right.
in the top 10. But I'm going to go with that for my third pick.
I had both of those on my big board. I won't tell you where I had them, but I definitely had the Odyssey and Michael both listed. Michael's one of those that's really hard because what do you comp it to? Like, I know I tried to comp it to some things last year and I can't remember which ones I put out there, but I was like, I still don't think it's comp to anything because Michael Jackson was not comparable to any person. Yeah. So it's like, you know, how does that work? And so it's a huge wild card, but I really think it could catch fire.
Like you have Elvis, which all, you know, which made like $151 million. So not a huge amount, but I think Michael Jackson is a much more contemporary figure than Elvis. So
like Bohemian Rhapsody made 216.
Yeah.
Like I think Michael has more.
I do wonder if it's going to be one of those things that does much better worldwide than it does domestically, but I don't know. I could be overestimating it a bunch, but we'll see.
And I am also going to fully admit that at some point during this conversation, I for sure am going to probably list and draft a movie that's coming out on Netflix that's not even going to hit theaters because I did not cross-check all of these. So when I do that, you can just like, we'll insert a sound of like a wah 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 sound or something when I do it because I'm sure it's going to happen. Like I don't know which of these is coming to streaming and which of them is going to theaters. So I don't know. When I make the mistake, just let me know. So I am torn on where to go next. I've already had two animated films. There's another one that I would consider, but I don't know if I really want three animated films to just jump off the bat all on my squad here. So I'm going to dip into the superhero pool a little bit as well. And I think I have this right. It's coming out this year. I believe it's coming out in theaters. One of the previous ones, they both have done great. One of them did really great, which I don't know why there was such a gulf between the two. Maybe you can tell me because I know you know more about this franchise overall, but I feel like I need to go with Spider-Man Brand New Day here.
Yeah.
It's tough because No Way Home made, do I have this right? No Way Home made $800 million.
Yeah, it killed.
And then Far From Home was half of that, $391.
Yeah,
Homecoming was 334, so it could be like those two and be more in the 300s. I don't think it's going to do 800, but
I think No Way Home definitely benefited from the fact that you had all the different Spider-Man coming together.
Yeah.
Like even though it was they very much marketed it in a smart way where it was the best known secret that everyone knew it was going to happen. And I think at that time, that's when people are like, oh, the multiverse, this is kind of cool. And like, we were still kind of getting not getting over COVID, but like the people getting back to the theater. So I think it was kind of the perfect storm. I just worry because like Fantastic Four didn't do great. And I know I have Avengers Doomsday number one, but I was worried to put all my eggs in the Marvel basket because, you know, what if again, like you said, with the, if it's more so like the No Way Home. And I thought No Way Home was fine. So what if this one is even less than that? I don't know. I guess I felt I didn't know where to put it. So I was like, I'm gonna try to not overload my board with Marvel. It's like when you try not to put too many players on the same team because like, what if their offense stinks?
Yeah.
So that was kind of my thought with Marvel.
I think my thought with this one was it might be a stretch to be my third pick. Like it might not live up to that hype. But I'm feeling like it's fairly safe that it's going to be in the top 10 conversation, right? Like, I feel like it should at least make 300. If it does 300, it probably doesn't warrant my third pick, but it has the potential to do more than that. So I feel like it's somewhat of a safe pick, but I don't know. But it may not warrant a top three pick for me, but we'll see. And I feel like I'm going to make a similar pick next, which also could throw things off a little bit because I have five that I want to pick right now. I can only pick one of them. So, and I'm really torn on this universe and picking one here based off of more recent trends, based off of the fact that it's not based off of a movie franchise, it's based off of a streaming series. But it's freaking Star Wars, man. Like, it's Star Wars. Like, what's the worst movie that's come out in that franchise? Is it Solo at 213, or was there one that was lower? Like, maybe it's going to be closer to the 10 to 15 mark, but people like Grogu. Like, they think he's cute.
Yeah.
I was a little worried, like, is this only going to be out in theaters for like a week and then you're just going to be able to stream it everywhere? Like, I don't know how that works these days. Like, it seems like everything has a short leash. But I'm going to pick Star Wars, Mandalorian, and Grogu as my next pick.
My concern with that is that considering it's, Mandalorian has been on Disney Plus. Like, I don't know. Honestly, I didn't know it wasn't going to Disney Plus right away. I assumed it was
being released in theater, I think.
No, you're right. It is.
Okay.
I didn't know that. And I think, and I wonder how many people know that. And that's my concern.
Right. I think the only reason I'm erring on the side of picking it is because not only is it Star Wars, but I feel like Grogu is a big pull for kids.
Yeah.
So it's like getting a little of both the Star Wars fans and just general kid audiences that are children and stuff. They're going to want to go see it maybe, but my biggest fear is how long is it going to be in theaters?
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Honestly, the trailer, again, not to put all the faith in trailers, but the trailer wasn't awe-inspiring. It was right. Fine.
I don't know where Star Wars is right now these days. Like, I don't know. It's like in this weird limbo thing, like, right? Like, it's not quite the same as like the Marvel universe where you could say like another bad movie could be a nail in its coffin. I feel like Star Wars is in this like weird like black hole limbo where it's like nobody knows what direction that IP is going.
I mean, Andor obviously was very at least successful critically. I don't know how it did, like, you know, because it was on streaming, but
right.
Yeah, I don't know. It's hard to say because I even feel like the last season of The Mandalorian wasn't like beloved at all that much. So I had that at, honestly, I had that on my board at 14 because I was just scared for it.
And I feel like it's tough to do the transition from TV to movie. It doesn't always translate.
No, we'll see. I honestly hope it does well just because I would like to get more Star Wars movies.
They need something to do well. In the theater. I mean, I think that Andor and like they've had some decent luck with the streaming services shows, but the films need a rejuvenation, I think.
Yeah. So my next pick again is one I honestly thought you were going to go here, but I'll pick it up. I was a little concerned about it last round, but I'll pick it up here and I'm going to go with Moana, the live action Moana. We obviously Lilo and Stitch did huge last year, so that was in the back of my mind. But what also back in my mind was how bad Snow White did, and I feel like these live action movies are very either they make all the money or they make none of the money,
right?
And you know, I think it helps that Moana, and it's like quality. It doesn't seem to matter because I have not seen the live action Lilo and Stitch, but I did not see many people. Speak highly of it, but and I mean it's going to basically just be Moana, so I don't know. It seems a little because it's super new, so it doesn't necessarily have the nostalgia of something. Although I guess it's a lot older than I realized because it's on. But I feel like it's, you know, it's also coming out in the summer, which I feel in a more crowded field, so that makes me a little concerned about it. But I think, you know, Moana is so popular. Moana 2 did so well, and that was not the greatest movie in the world. So clearly a beloved franchise. The Rock is coming back to it, although...
I was going to say, that's all you need to say. The Rock's in it. Like, you're safe.
Well, I mean, his movies lately haven't done great, so maybe, but who knows? We'll see how that goes. So this next pick, I can go a few ways. I realize I don't have an animated film on my list right now, unless you count Moana. So I think I'll go animated. I was a little concerned about this one just because it comes out shortly after Toy Story, so that's my big concern. But also, this franchise just makes ridiculous amounts of money still, which I don't get, but whatever. Minions 3. I'm going to go with it here. I know the last Minions movie, it was a pretty big hit. I know like it's hard to like figure out what is that franchise, because Minions made like $800 million worldwide, and then you all have the what is it? I can't even. It's not even
Rise of
like
Gru.
the Rise of Gru movies or whatever they are.
Oh, the Despicable Me. Yeah,
Despicable Me. It's like that franchise. How many movies that franchise has, but somehow it keeps going. And I know, like, the so I can it be captured that again? I'm not sure. Is this like the last? Yeah, is it gone just too far at this point? I don't know.
It hasn't failed yet, Dan. I know. I feel like you're saying this was going to be my last pick instead of Star Wars. It was between Star Wars and Minions.
Yeah.
I had two animated films, I was like, I guess I'll go Star Wars.
Yeah. So I'm going to go with it here. I feel, you know, it's like you said, it's animated. It's got. Kids love those Minions, but I don't know. My biggest concern is just the release window, because I think if, you know, I was going to the movie theater, I had a choice between Toy Story 5, even though I kind of wish that franchise would end, and Minions 3, I'm going Toy Story 5. So, but
you might be able to play defense here, because I have Toy Story 5, and then you're going to come out with Minions a few weeks later, and maybe you'll be able to stunt my growth here for Toy Story 5. I don't know.
That's the hope, I guess.
You put me in a real tough spot, Dan, because I was hoping that one of Moana or Minions was going to be left for me in this next round. I was torn on Moana. I was a little like sticker shocked because of Snow White or whatever phrase you want to use.
Yeah.
But Moana 2 did great. Little Mermaid live action did good. So I feel like it's safe. I feel like it's one that people aren't tired of, and it's still a modern enough animated film that it's not like you're trying to resurrect a fan base from Snow White from 100 years ago to see the live action one. Like, Moana's still kind of top of mind, so I kind of get that. And I think even if Minions is the worst performing Despicable Me / Minions movie, you're still going to be safe, I think. So unless it just completely fell apart. So now I'm in a spot where I'm looking at three films and I'm really scared of one of them because it's in the superhero world. And I'm really scared of the other two because of their release dates. So you've kind of put me in a pickle. So with my too many Christmas. With my first one, even though it comes out a week before Avengers, is that smart at all to pick something that comes out a week before Avengers? I don't know. I feel like the last two films have done way better than they should have, though, and I don't know why. Even though I can't explain it, I'm going to go with the fourth Jumanji film. I don't know. Like, the last two did 320 and 400. Why? I don't know. But they did it, and I guess that's where The Rock has shined. I don't know, but it's coming out a week before Avengers, so this is probably going to be a pick I'm going to regret later. But I'm going to go Jumanji 4. And then, do I want to try to play it safe and stay away from a third movie that comes out in December? Or do I want to go into the middle of the weeds in the summer? Neither one of these is good options, Dan. I'm going to do another superhero film just to stay away from having three of the December 11th through 18th films. I will go with Supergirl. It comes out in June. It's going to be still a month before Spider-Man comes out. So maybe that's enough time for it to make its money. So I don't know what you can really compare this to. I don't know if there is a comp. I don't know if people are interested in Supergirl or not. I don't know what the buzz is. You probably know more about like the online chatter with Supergirl. I don't. So maybe that's a dumb pick, but I'm going to go Jumanji 4 and Supergirl.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, Supergirl, I think there's been a little split, because I know people are like, oh, it looked too much. Like, it's getting a lot of comparisons to Guardians of the Galaxy, which I think is weird. But my concern with Supergirl is that, like, Superman did good. It did pretty well, but it wasn't the top movie of the year. And then we've never had a Supergirl film before. And unfortunately, like, people don't tend to support female-led action films or superhero films all that much. Not always. I mean, Captain Marvel did amazing.
That's what I was kind of hoping for. I was hoping, like, channeling Captain Marvel a little bit.
So perhaps, you know, I think this will be the true test of how people really feel about this new DC relaunch. So maybe you'll do really well. But we've seen, like, DC go so many different areas. Like, what if it, because The Flash flopped And do people have people stopped associating it, this new DC with, I don't know. So I hope it does well. I was going to probably, if you didn't choose it, I was going to pick it. Cause I think it will, I know it's coming out. And so that's a benefit. And that's kind of like where I'm at right now, because there's a certain franchise, a certain movie that I think is going to ultimately do really well, but I'm really worried that it's going to be pushed to next year. Because it just seems like we don't have a lot about it right now. And I feel like there's, and I've seen rumors that they're potentially thinking about changing the date. So I'm going to stick away from that. Maybe later on, if it's still there, I'll draft. I just think there's a big risk there. But for this one, I'm going to go with one that I think we have much more for. It seems like it has a solid release date. Again, a pretty well-known, well-respected property. Well, in the sense of like how well it did box office wise. And I'm going to go with The Hunger Games: Sunrise of the Reaping, on the Reaping, I should say, because that's the right title. again, The Hunger Games were huge. I do worry, like, you know, I honestly don't know anything about this story. Is it a legacy sequel? Is it a prequel? I don't know.
It's a prequel.
It's a prequel. Okay. So those are always tough because, like, you know, can you recapture that magic again? Like, is, you know, is that Hunger Games, has the, is it coming on? Was that like, we had those, like that time where we had a lot of movies like that. Will it be big again? I'm not sure, but I feel like there's still potential there. I still see a lot of people talking about Hunger Games still. So I do think there's still a lot of fans of that franchise. So I think it'll do, looking at, I have the most faith of it with everything that's coming out right now, and just looking to see, you know, what else is out there. There's a lot of different things, and there's, you know, some more franchises, but I, this again is tough because I'm going to go with this again. Maybe this is another hope, you know, more of a hope than, and maybe I'm being crazy here, but we're talking about Steven Spielberg, the man that made, you know, that made summer movies what they are today. So I'm going to go with Disclosure Day as my next pick. You know, it's obviously, it's hard to compare it to anything besides what Spielberg has done in the past. And he hasn't really had a huge box office hit in a while, but he also hasn't done a movie like this in a while. Like he's kind of done smaller films and not the big bombastic, like, action. I can't think of the last time he's done like a science fiction film like this. So, you know, like the Fablemans was never meant to be this. The West Side Story, yeah, there was Ready Player One, but I that never felt like a Steven Spielberg movie. And then you have The Post. I think the last time he's done anything close to this was War of the Worlds, maybe. You know, so it's hard to, which it's hard to really compare it to anything. So I'm hoping that we will recapture that Spielberg magic again. It's also starring Josh O'Connor, who I think is like becoming that next big thing in Hollywood, so maybe that's the right step in the right direction. But I'm going to go with Disclosure Day. Again, I think there's a movie out there that may potentially do better than all these, but these all I know are coming out, so I'm gonna stick with those.
Oh, we keep passing it back and forth to each other, Dan. As far as a specific film that we keep avoiding, yeah. I don't know if I should do it any longer, though. Man, my goodness, I have a couple different ways I want to go with this one. I'll fall on the grenade with one of these, I guess.
Okay.
Because I didn't last time and I can't put it off another round. So it might not come out in 2026, but it also seems like it's really silly to pick a movie that comes out the same day as Avengers Doomsday. But maybe it's a different audience enough that it's going to succeed, and maybe Zendaya can carry it through. I don't know. Is she even in part three? I don't know. I'll go with Dune part three. Okay. Only reason being because I feel like, when I talked about earlier, thinking about momentum, like part one only made like 108 domestic, part two made 282. I feel like people are excited and people are into it and it's just gaining audience. So if it can come out in December, maybe it can survive Avengers Doomsday and be like the alternate programming for some folks, and be what people are talking about at Christmas time. Maybe there's enough time for people that are off on Christmas break and college break to go see two movies. So yeah. I will go with Doom Part 3 for my next pick. May regret that one.
Yeah, I mean, if you weren't picking it, I had to get it next. So
yeah, I get it. For my next one, I'm going to do similar to what you did with a few of these, more non-IP, but kind of going to the director and some of the genre and stuff. Like, you had your Michael pick and you had your Disclosure Day and The Odyssey, I think all fit into that realm. I'm going to go with a pick similar to that with my next one. This was actually on my most anticipated list, I believe, last year, and it didn't come out. It is for sure coming out this year, so I like that part. It's coming out in March, so again, it's another one of those that could take advantage of a less crowded field. It's Lord and Miller, who did the Lego movie, and that was pretty successful. Ryan Gosling's pretty attractive as an actor, I believe, for people to go see, and I really think this has a strong comp to The Martian, which made over $200 million. So I'm going to go with Project Hail Mary, unless this is only being streamed and not going to theaters, which I will regret. I don't know, but I don't know. I'm rooting for Project Hail Mary to be good, and I think it could be good in the same way The Martian was.
Yeah, and that was when I was in between that or Disclosure Day. I went with Disclosure Day just because I feel like I went with Spielberg, since he's a known property. But this was one that I did the wife test for, because my wife read the book and wanted to go see this. So I do know there's a lot of fans of that book. So I think it's a good pick, because I would have got it if you've not chosen it. Gotcha. So
Dan, that means it's back to you, and we're getting into the interesting territory.
Yeah. Again, it's one of those things where there's some of these movies that it's kind of those, like, okay, we got trailers for them, so high chance they're coming out. But I think for my next one, and this one I'm a little worried about because there hasn't been much released about it, but I also think it if I were to comp it to, say, how well The Joker did, the first one, it could do amazing. So I'm going to go with Clayface here as my next pick. I'm a little concerned about it because, like, there's no trailer. It's a movie based upon a Batman villain. Joker. That's not nearly well known as the Joker. So that has me a little scared. But I don't know. I think it could also just be something that's amazing and does really well. The Penguin TV show was pretty popular, so perhaps it can kind of bring that same vibe. I don't, there's a chance, but I'm also worried it could be another one of those that doesn't come out at all and gets pushed back. So it's tough. And like you said, we are in the, this is like the, you know, when you're in the last two rounds and you're just trying to, like, maybe this person will be good this year. I don't know. So a lot of different options to choose from, and trying, you know, that we have other problems. What is going on? But I think I'm gonna go this direction again. It's a family film coming out around the holiday time. Those tend to do well. We saw it do well with Zootopia. I don't think this will do nearly as well as Zootopia, but again, it's a really well-known property. I'm gonna go with The Cat in the Hat. The trailer came out, so I know it's heading out for this year. I don't know, Dr. Seuss films usually do okay. They're never like the biggest things in the world or anything like that. But I feel like it has a decent floor. So, and again, an animated film doesn't seem like it has a huge amount of competition compared to some of the other ones. So I will put that at my ninth pick with The Cat in the Hat.
Yeah, it was definitely one of the animated ones I had in the animated section listed. I think I had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I had like 10 of them listed, and I wasn't sure where to go after about the first three. So I got scared about a couple of them. And the only thing that worried me about The Cat in the Hat was that there was another animated film that also comes out that month. I don't know if it will interfere too much with it or not, but I also think it's good to pick family or kid oriented movies around the holidays. So I think that works. I was actually also eyeballing a bunch of films coming out in November. And I feel like, you know, that's when Hunger Games is coming out. And I have a couple other ones that I'm looking at. That's when Cat in Hat comes out in November. I feel like there's going to be room for some November money making from a couple of these films. I just don't know which ones they are. So I'm trying to decide if I want to double down on the November film and pick one myself. We're into like the tough territory.
Yeah.
I think that one's only going to be streaming, so I'm going to stay away from that one as one of the other animated films that's on my list. I think that trailer looked terrible. Okay, I'm just talking myself through this. I had a couple listed on my big board, Dan, that I thought I was going to be able to sneak in later, and you have not allowed me to do that.
Was that Disclosure Day, or which one was that?
Clayface, I thought I might be able to sneak in later. Michael, I wasn't sure if you would pick or not, so I kind of had that targeted for maybe a sleeper pick. And I may have
gotten too early with that one.
You might have been perfect with those. I think you might have captured lightning in a bottle. We'll see. So let's see. For my number, I think this is my number 9 pick here. Do I want to do that? You went with a director that you think is going to be able to carry some weight in Steven Spielberg. And I feel like maybe I should do the same with this one. You also did it with Christopher Nolan, right? You got both Nolan and Spielberg.
And I did.
So I feel like I'm going to do the same thing with another one that could completely blow up in my face and they could make nothing, because he can put out some duds and sometimes it just doesn't work. But it's coming out in August, which I don't have anything else on my board that comes out in August that I was considering. So maybe one. I had one film that was coming out in August, but it's completely kid-oriented. So I feel like maybe it could take advantage of a gap in the release schedule. But you never know with this guy. Napoleon didn't make that much. The Last Duel didn't make that much. Gladiator 2 made a decent amount, but it was also an existing IP. This one's sci-fi, though, and I feel like Ridley Scott can channel some sci-fi occasionally. So I'm going to go with hopefully riding the momentum of Jacob Elordi. We can throw Josh Brolin in there, and I'll take The Dog Stars, which I know nothing about other than it's Ridley Scott, it's sci-fi, it's Jacob Elordi, and it's coming out in August, where I feel like there's not as much competition, and I'll probably regret that pick, but I'll go with The Dog Stars.
Okay. I had that listed too. I thought about it. Same thing. I was thinking Ridley Scott.
Right.
But like you, I feel like he's maybe a little bit past his prime.
Yeah.
But maybe he'll recapture that. Who knows?
Yeah. We'll have to wait and see. I was hoping, because it's like a sci-fi / post-apocalyptic setting, that maybe he could channel some. And I'm going to probably, I got it down between two for my final pick, Dan. I don't know whether to go with the one that's only going to have a 28-day theatrical release, but I guess that's normal for a lot of them. Or if I want to do the more family-friendly film, but maybe too far into the tenure of this franchise that nobody cares anymore. They both come out the same day, Dan. Which way do I want to go? Let's try to capitalize on some holiday fun, and maybe families and parents and grandparents will want to go see this one. Comes out November 25th, a few days before Thanksgiving, if I remember right. I don't know what day Thanksgiving is on this year yet. I think it's like the 27th or 8th. I'm going to go with Fokker in Law.
Okay.
From the Meet the Parents, Meet the Fokkers universe. Little Fokkers only made 148. Meet the Fokkers made 280. Maybe this one can get somewhere in the middle and be enough to sneak in somewhere in the top 20. So that's where I'm going to go.
So did you say your last pick? How many have you? What are your?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. I got all my picks. You have one left.
Okay. You have 10?
Yep, I got 10 and you have 9 at the moment.
All right. So my last pick, a lot of different options here. So I'll try to walk through it to where I'm thinking. I'm thinking we have Digger, which is probably most notable because it's got Tom Cruise. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he's not who, you know, the Mission Impossible movies, I mean, they did okay. They did, but what was it, 12 this year? So it's hard to, it's also Iñárritu. And his movies are usually critically acclaimed. They don't necessarily have the biggest box office. So I don't know about that one. There's the Madden movie. Obviously, Madden's super popular, but, like, I don't know. That could also make, like, $18. Nicolas Cage. I did think about Fokker in Law. There's a lot of different animated movies still. There's the Hoppers that's coming out. We have some video game movies with Street Fighter and Mortal Kombat 2. There's the Looney Tunes movie with Coyote vs. Acme, which I know got a, like, that was one of those movies that kind of got shelved and was able to come back from it.
Right.
So maybe, and there's a new Resident Evil movie coming out.
Don't pick so, that one.
Yeah. those movies did okay, like box office, but I think, I feel like it's kind of a, and I don't have any horror movies on my list. So right now I'm between two films. One is there's a new Insidious movie coming out, and I don't know how well the last Insidious film did, but I feel like horror does so well at the box office. I'm a little scared that I don't have any horror on my list at all. I'm trying to think of the last Insidious film. Let's take a look. Did 100 million, so not great. Maybe not the best place to go. Apparently there's Masters in the Universe movie coming out, but I don't trust it because we've gotten nothing about it. And I feel like that movie has been coming out for the last
five years. It is for sure coming out. Like, they've already wrapped. They, like, it is for sure coming out. I'm just so scared that Jared Leto's connected to it. So, like, I just can't. I mean, Idris Elba's in it too, but Jared Leto's in it. And he typically does not bring box office gold. So I'm skeptical.
We have Scream 7, you know? I mean,
everybody's back in that one. Apparently, all the originals are back, and it's directed by the same guy that started the whole thing as a writer. So.
But Scream 6 did 100 million. Not great.
Right.
So I think, and there's
28 days later. You could test the Johnny Depp waters and see how he does after all of the scandals and everything.
I'm good. I'm good there. There's a new 28 Days Later movie, but I don't. Last year's didn't do great box office wise. It did, like, but I think I'm going to go with. I feel like, again, this is a movie that can flop, but if those Angel Films produce movies, like, they have a fan, like, they tend to do well. Like, they just, you know, for whatever reason. So I'm going to finish mine off with Animal Farm as my 10th pick. It's weird because this is, like, from Angel Studios, and it's also with, like, a lot of Hollywood stars like Seth Rogen and stuff like that. It feels very weird. The trailer itself, I don't think looked pretty bad, if I'm being honest. It's like, this is not Animal Farm at all. But this isn't a list about quality. It's a list about quantity. And just looking at the other options, I feel like it's my best option that I have in the sense of the likelihood of it at least doing decent enough. So I want to I'll finish it off with Animal Farm. I don't feel great about it, but I finished off with, I started my first animated film was my fifth pick, and I ended up with two other ones. So three total. But yeah,
there you go.
There it goes.
Well, you got a chance. Yeah, you got a chance to talk about a few that you were thinking. I didn't get to do that because I don't want to tip your hand too much, I guess, in this cutthroat draft that we're doing. But here's some other ones that I was really struggling with. Narnia is getting 28 days in the theater. From some quick research. So, but it's also coming out November 25th, which was that was the one I was thinking of between that and Fokker in Law. They both come out the same day.
See, maybe, I didn't even consider that because I just thought I was going straight to Netflix. So,
but how many will people go to the theater if they know it's coming straight to Netflix within the month? I don't know. So it's a little scary there. I also avoided Ray Gun because that's supposed to be just coming straight to streaming. And that is an animated film from Brad Bird that's coming out. So I stayed away from that one because I believe it's still streaming or just going to be streaming. I thought about trying to take a pick out of left field and maybe Zendaya and Robert Pattinson are going to make some magic with The Drama, which is a romantic comedy coming out in June. I thought maybe that could be one of those off the beaten path that catches lightning in a bottle, but I just wasn't convinced enough to pick it. I thought about The Bride from Maggie Gyllenhaal, but then I was looking at some of the other films like that with Frankenstein and Nosferatu. Same with Werewolf, which is coming out from Robert Eggers. I thought about The Bride and Werewolf, but I'm like, well, Nosferatu only did 95. Scares me a little bit. You mentioned a bunch of them, so I won't go over those again. Like The Death of Robin Hood. Robin Hood just doesn't seem to do a whole lot these days, but Hugh Jackman is in it. So it's like,
yeah,
maybe. The Adventures of Cliff Booth. The sequel from Once Upon a Time in Hollywood starring Brad Pitt is supposed to be coming out, and this is written by Tarantino and directed by David Fincher, but I don't know, like Once Upon a Time in Hollywood did 142. Is it going to do more than that? I don't think so. I know The Social Network has gotten more and more buzz as time has gone on, and now they're doing The Social Reckoning from Aaron Sorkin. I don't know if it's going to be something that just goes bananas or not. It's coming out in October, so maybe it's a good timing, but I wasn't sure on that. M. Night Shyamalan sometimes has luck at the box office, but when you adapt a Nicholas Sparks film, I don't know if that's the right recipe for him, so I stayed away from that. We talked about Johnny Depp doing an Ebenezer A Christmas Carol, which doesn't surprise me. That sounds like something that Johnny Depp would be cast in, but I'm just not sure if anybody wants to see Johnny Depp anymore. There's a Devil Wears Prada remake. There's a new Mummy movie. I thought about that. And then some of the other animated films that I wasn't sure about was Hoppers, which comes out in March, and Hexed, which is supposed to also come out on November 25th. I don't know why everything's coming out on November 25th, but I thought about those along with The Cat in the Hat. There's a new Legend of Aang, The Last Airbender. Wasn't sure about that. So those were some of the, I would like to think Mortal Kombat 2 and Street Fighter could get some love, but that scares me a lot. There's an I Play Rocky about the making of the Rocky film, the original, that I don't know if that could catch lightning in a bottle or not, but then it's like directed by the guys that did Dumb and Dumber. So I'm like, that seems weird to me. So those were other ones I was considering. Any that you didn't mention in your last little decision-making process that you wanted to highlight?
Yeah, I thought about, again, like those Angel Studio movies do well. There's a Young Washington movie coming out with like Andy Serkis. And like, so that's, I don't know how would that do. You mentioned Hoppers. I did think about that. There's also the Sheep Detectives, that the Hugh Jackman film. And I feel like that could be like an endearing movie that, like, you know, it like hits like a kid audience and older audience. So I thought about that as well. But yeah. And then there's Variety, which is directed by Michael Showalter, Dakota Johnson, Anne Hathaway. Again, like those films are so hard to, like, people don't tend to go see those, unfortunately, in the theater. And I really wanted to see, like, there's Practical Magic 2 is coming out.
Right.
I don't know, like, how many Practical Magic fans are there. And
I think people that like Practical Magic from back in the day love Practical Magic, but how can you come close to predict a sequel that's like 30 years later?
Yeah. And I was trying to think of, you know, because the horror, like thinking, is there anything that could be like a Weapons this year or something like that? And I'm just not as well versed within the horror genre. Like there's Violent Night 2, but like I don't know, like sometimes horror sequels do so much better than the original, because like they, you know, the original gets fan service, you know, gets
built
and then it does better. So I thought about something like that, but well, there's also I don't think this will do well, but I didn't realize that there's this comic I really like called Four Kids Walk Into a Bank, and that's being made into a film. So I don't think that's going to do very well box office wise, but who knows?
Should we run down our team of 10 here? Do you want to go ahead and give your 10 together?
Sure. I guess I can start. So at number one, I have Avengers Doomsday, and then I have The Odyssey. I got Michael. Maybe I got that one too soon. We shall see. Moana was my next pick. Live action, Minions 3. Then I have The Hunger Games, The Sunrise on the Reaping. That is a mouthful. Disclosure Day. Clayface was my eighth pick. And then for my ninth pick, I went Cat in the Hat. And I finished it off with another animated film in Animal Farm.
I think you have a good variety there, Dan. You have some that are just like the non-IP director showcase. You got a few of the animated. You got a few of like the big IPs and this, like there's a couple superhero films. Like, I don't know, you got a little bit of everything. You got some heavy hitters for sure, I believe, with Avengers, you know, Hunger Games, Moana, Minions. Like, I think there's a lot to love there. I was really hoping to sneak in Michael and Clayface and get them away from you, but was not able to do that. So how do you feel about your team overall?
I feel good. I probably should have gone Spider-Man when I went Michael, but I legitimately forgot all about Spider-Man. I'll be honest, it completely slipped my mind, and didn't even conclude. Like, I somehow forgot it on my board that I had, but I feel good. Like, I think I have, like you said, a good variety, and I have some movies that like I not only hope do well so that way I'm right, but also I hope do well because like I would love to see a Steven Spielberg movie do right. Great again. So
absolutely. All right, so my set of 10 is going to go something like this. I started double animated. I got the Super Mario Galaxy movie and Toy Story 5. Then I went into some superheroes with Spider-Man, Brand New Day, and Supergirl. I couldn't avoid Star Wars, so I went with Star Wars, Mandalorian, and Grogu. Took a chance and rolled with Dune Part 3, competing directly with Avengers. Jumanji 4, The Rock, Please Don't Do Me the Wrong. Then I got Focker-in-Law, and I guess my two more directorial or more like off the beaten IP path would be Project Hail Mary and The Dog Stars. So that is my team. I feel like I got some studs and duds, so we'll see. how that goes.
I think Focker-in-Law is a good call because maybe like, you know, Naked Gun did okay last year and so maybe people just want.
I like when it's coming out. I like that it's coming out around the Thanksgiving holiday. And like, I feel like some more families are going to watch that and ready for some comedic stuff in between the summer blockbusters and December's ridiculous slate of
movies. Yeah. And I think you also have two that can like end up being like top three. Like I could see Dune, if Dune Part 3 comes out, like that could easily be a top three movie. And then I think Project Hail Mary, like it could be one of those like that does catch fire because it's coming out in not super busy time. Like I mentioned, it has pretty good fan base with the book. Gordon right. Miller have their fans. Ryan Gosling has their fans. So I might be dooming it saying this, but I think it does. Yeah. It has potential. So
I hope it does well. Like I said, I hope we do this and we know we're going to pick a bunch of IP movies and we're going to pick a bunch of, you know, all of that type of stuff in that ballpark or in that playing field. But I hope that some of our off the beaten path, even though they are like very well-known directors, like I'd be 100% fine if Project Hail Mary and The Odyssey and, you know, Michael or Disclosure Day or, you know, some of those did The Dog Stars. Like if some of those did good, I would be happy regardless of which team they ended up on.
Were there any movies that came out that like, if you were going to say, what do you think is like the biggest flop of the year? Not like with your picks or just ones that you saw in your research that like, okay, I'm pretty sure this is going to be.
I think Madden might end up being a flop.
Yeah.
I don't know. He looks ridiculous as that character. I don't think there's a whole lot of David O. Russell fans out there anymore. Just given his off camera stuff. Yeah. So I could see, but then you could have just a bunch of like, just football fans, I guess, that power that one through. I can obviously see Masters of the Universe being a flop. I will be there the first week it opens, but it's that's just for my own like nostalgic itch. But I could see that one like completely flopping as well. I could see Narnia flopping. It's a hard one to predict how that'll go. So it really depends on that. Out of other ones that we maybe didn't talk about, I think Angry Birds 3, I don't think anybody's like getting excited about that one necessarily. And then I think there was one other one that I had on here. Like, why are we still coming out with scary movies? Scary Movie 6, I don't think anyone's ready for that one. And I think the other one is just, that's why I stayed away from Hoppers and Hexed, was because I just wasn't sure. I feel like at least one of those is going to be a flop, and I don't know why or how or which one, so I just avoided both of them. What about you?
I mentioned like Practical Magic 2. I feel like that might not do very well. I'm really worried about the Devil Wears Prada 2, just because we're like, does that film still, like, it just seems such a, like, it's such a long time since that original came out, and the legacy sequels are so, you know, hit and miss for a while. But if I had to put my money on one movie that's going to majorly flop, and I could be end up eating crow and being completely wrong, but I think it's going to be Street Fighter. I think those posters look utterly ridiculous. Like,
they, but just will they be so ridiculous that people will be like, I have to see this?
That's true. It could be like people go, I have ironically,
to put a roster on it, I'm pretty sure.
I know. It's like, I mean, WWE is going to do everything they can to try to make it a hit, but it just looks so bad. But again, like you said, maybe that's the point, and it actually ends up being this hilarious comedy. But in video game movies, usually, I mean, we had a whole video game series. We know how bad that can get. So I don't know.
Yeah, that one's hard to say. I would maybe throw Remain in there too. Like, I don't know if M. Night Shyamalan and Nicholas Sparks are going to be
That's such a random combination. That's so weird. That's
it does have Jake Gyllenhaal in it, though. So maybe that's going to save it. I don't know.
All right.
But all right. So that is our box office predictions for 2026. You'll have to comment and let us know where we went completely wrong, which one of us picked a movie that's not even going to appear in theaters ever, or maybe not at least this year. I think we, outside of if one of those December movies get pushed, I think we did a good job of avoiding ones that didn't have release dates.
Yeah.
Like, I don't remember us doing anything that was like an undetermined release date. So
yeah, the one I'm most scared about that I picked is Clayface, because like there's not much out. There's not even a poster. So
right,
that has me concerned. And then so especially with all the stuff going on with Warner Brothers and everything like that, right. Like that could mess that movie up, I think, a great deal. So that's my biggest concern.
All I want however we're scoring this, which we haven't even discussed, I want it to be going down to the you know, like, we're neck and neck heading into December 18th, and then Dune and Avengers are both going to come out that day for real.
Yeah.
That'll be something to look for. So yeah, let us know which picks you like, which picks you didn't. You can hit us up on social media. I'm at Optimus Solo. The show is at Cinema Geek Cast. Dan is at, which one is your Twitter?
It's all Comic Concierge.
That's what I thought. It's all Comic Concierge. You can reach out in any of those ways. You can go to the website, geekcastradio.com, and find the episode post and comment there. Otherwise, just search us out on any of the social medias and let us know what you think. Dan, any last words or last thoughts on the box office?
No, I do think it does look like it'd be a stacked year. Like, they're like, you're looking at, you know, was, I don't, like, by the time we got to like 7 or 8, we were, but still, that was 20 movies deep. Yeah. So that, which we don't usually do, but
I hope it's a great year. I hope it's a great year for the box office. We could really use it. Like, we need films to do well. Like, we don't. Yeah. I don't want to see the theater die. So, like,
if we end up having a good Star Wars movie, a good Marvel movie, and a good DC movie within the same year, that'll be great to see. And especially if some of these films, like, you know, if the Disclosure Day and Project Hail Mary also do well, like, that's as well as whatever, hopefully we do get like another, like a movie that we're completely overlooking that does like another Sinners that kind of shocks the world would be great too.
Absolutely. So we will keep your eye out. We'll be doing some more of our beginning of the year episodes here and there throughout the next few weeks. We'll do our most anticipated of 2026 films, where we can completely ignore how much they're going to make and just talk about what actual films we're excited to see personally. And then we will also give you our top 10 films of 2025 here at some point in the not too distant future. So keep your eyes out for both of those, as well as some other fun along the way. So that does it for this episode. Tune in next time for another chance to listen to more of the Cinema Geeks.